It's time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Well, welcome into a St. Patrick's Day edition of Nighttime at Noon here at City National Arena. I'm Ashley Weiss with Shane Knighty. And Shane, I have to say, yesterday on the broadcast, Darren blamed you for the loss because you weren't wearing green. I let it slide because it wasn't actually St. Patrick's Day.
You got green on today.
Here's
my problem with St. Patrick's. I know it's one day, but it's like a weekend thing. So I chose the game
before.
You and
Dave were in the spirit all
weekend. I chose the game before to wear it, which was Buffalo. I wore it that day, my green suit and my fancy green shoes, and maybe I should have waited, but I'm the furthest thing from blaming for that game.
Are you superstitious?
That's such a good question, because as a player, everybody says, "Are you superstitious?" And I say, no.
You have routine.
There you go. That's the line. But there's certain things I do. I would say not overly superstitious, no.
Okay.
There's a couple things, maybe.
Then it's okay that you're not wearing green, I guess. If you don't believe in luck, that's fine. You mentioned yesterday's game, but want to talk first about this road trip the Golden Knights just got back from as a whole. Got back around 7 p.m. last night, which was, I'm sure, nice for them to not be rolling in late, even though I'm sure the back-to-back matinee games were a bit different. But I guess, how would you sum up the road trip as a whole before we dive into the individual games?
Well, really like the first two games. Pittsburgh, they only allowed 17 shots. I thought they did everything they could to win that game. I thought defensively were solid. They earned a point. They went up against a very good goalie. Tristan Jarry was phenomenal in that game. They certainly generated more than enough to win. It was just one of those games. The other goalie was really good. Able to get the point, push it to overtime. You would love to see them get that extra point. They didn't. At least you start the trip with a point. Then they go into Columbus and play a terrific game. A little slow start. Aiden Hill, which you want from your goaltender, was there at the beginning. Let them settle in. They found their game and really took over. Columbus didn't have much in that one. Buffalo game was one of those games, Ashley, where a team just doesn't have it. And, they found a way to get ahead. We all know what happened with the hurdle and split-second decisions that us from above or on TV, we get how many different chances, looks to analyze it. But I'll tell you, when you're in there, that split-second decision, you know, it's tough. Yeah, he knows it's a mistake. He feels worse than anyone. And you could tell his reaction right after. He's coming down the ice, so this is a player. He looks over his shoulder. Jack Eichel, former, we always know the Sabres. He gets booed there. Sees him.
And not just little bit. By the end of that third period, it was loud. I don't know how it came across on the broadcast because we were there in person, but it's a hostile environment.
Well, and he got the go-ahead goal. So they're coming down, and this is me, not exactly, but you see Hurdle, and he does a quick little shoulder check. He's got a guy kind of behind him. He thinks Eichel is all alone. So he goes for the drop pass. But in that time, he does a shoulder check and makes the decision. This is how quick the game happens. There's another stick there. The pass is a little off. Down they come. Yes, the automatic. And it's a good learning thing for players. Yes, sometimes it's good. Just be selfish. Just be selfish. And anyway, that happened. But, you know, did they deserve to win that game? Well, they found a way that they should have. But overall, not their play. It was just one of those games that the execution was off. Obviously, the coach knows it. The players know it more than anybody. They can self-assess, and you understand those games. I've been in those situations where it's games and coaches. It's almost they don't yell. They just watch and look. And unfortunately, I've been in that. The one that comes to mind, and I'll just tell this quick story, is when I was with the Minnesota Wild in the 09-10 season. Went to Ottawa. There's always an equipment truck that picks up your gear and takes it to the arena. We were there a day before. We get a call from the GM that night. We're all out for dinner to get to the hotel. Apparently, one of the torches in the stick bag or whatever started fire. The equipment truck started on fire and burnt a bunch of the gear for the players. So we had a meeting about whether to play the game. They did. They got a charter plane, flew all our backup gear from Minnesota in, all brand new stuff. So, you know, guys had different things. Funny thing was, you lost your two left skates, which was funny because you have a regular pair and a backup pair. So I had to get a new pair and play, and guys are in new gear. And I just remember by the middle of the second period, my defensive coach, Mike Ramsey, was on the Olympic team in 1980. Dave would like that. looked at me, and he just said, "Yeah, that's enough. Just sit down." So, it happens in this game. And you know what? For whatever Buffalo, they got the point there. So you like that they were able to do that. And then you go into Detroit and you're a tired team. It's 3-4, 4-6, the end of a road trip. They just needed something. I think Bruce Cassidy said, well, they needed a goal. Like Olsen hits the post. They had some chances. They needed something to ignite them, something to you know, bring a little energy, because it's hard sometimes to manufacture that. And if they would have gotten a goal early or something, they could never do it. They're in the game. You know, it was still 1-0. You know, and then a turnover, and when fatigue sets in, that's when mental mistakes set in, made a mistake, all of a sudden 2-0, and they could just never really find their rhythm, their offensive game. And as I said, got back early last night, which I think is good, because today is a real big kind of, you know, reset, recharge day for this group. It's a bit kind of compressed schedule. It doesn't get any easier. You got to really take advantage of those rest days. And that's what they have this week, with just one game on Thursday.
Send us your questions as we go along here. Put them in your chat box, whatever outlet or social channel that you're watching or tuning into. We want to hear from you. Wanted to ask you, you know, 19 shots for Vegas in Buffalo, 18 shots in Detroit.
Yeah.
The high danger chances were pretty lopsided as well. That's not something we're accustomed to seeing out of Vegas, but the games were very different. So I'm curious, is there a common denominator that you saw there that was leading to less offensive production than we're used to seeing? Or is it just not having it one day and then the fatigue setting in the next? Is that really what it boils down to?
I think it's more of a shot mindset sometimes in games. You got to simplify a little more north-south. You always hear them talk put behind, get to their forecheck game. You know, every team, you game plan a little different, the way they're going to defend you and how you're going to execute your offense. And I think, you know, this team, and we've heard the coach talk about it, they like to make plays. Mm-hmm. So there's a balance there of, all right, they're creative. They like to make plays. And usually you allow that kind of the blue line in through the neutral zone, depending what kind of neutral zone, check team you're going against. Sometimes you just got to play the chip and chase game. Sometimes you come underneath with speed. Sometimes there's plays to be made, sometimes there isn't. And I think it's just a matter of them being in the mindset that, sometimes it's got to be simplified. And shot selection, maybe instead of looking for that extra pass, just throwing it to the net. A little more, shot, look for the second and third chances. And I think, and it's not for a whole game, but I think when you do that, then some of those plays will open up. And again, it's easy for us to look from above and, they see something. This happens so quickly on the ice. But I think, they fall into a bit of that where they're looking for that extra play rather than maybe just more of a direct style game, direct mindset to shoot the puck. And especially you look at the last two goalies they saw, Luukkonen, who has struggled this year. He had a good November, but I think his goals against in March was over 4. They didn't really test him enough. I felt, you should put a few more pucks there in Buffalo. But they didn't, and that's a balance that they'll continue to work on. And the great thing about hockey is it's a game of mistakes, right? It's rarely is a complete 60-minute game perfect. You're playing against another team that's really good, regardless of where they are in the standings. Their effort, they're going to try and win the game. So it's never easy to play a 60-minute game. It's just about minimizing those mistakes. And trying to be in more control for longer pockets. And as we've heard, when it does go, momentum swings the other way, trying to grab it back as quickly as possible.
Something Bruce Cassidy said during the strip that I thought was interesting was that even when the execution isn't there, he believes his team has had good intentions. I think that the play from Tomas Hertl is one of those examples. Some of the times
really
that they are
point.
Trying to make good plays. And I think that's also encouraging that the coach probably. Yeah, well, it's not easy as a player when you make a mistake or you make a turnover.
Well, nobody
when
feels worse than the player
play.
When it happens. You feel awful. And one of the toughest things to become a good player and to stay in the league is the ability to wash that away, right? You've got to turn the page quickly, in game and game to game. Mistakes are going to be made. You're going to make mistakes. Everybody's going to make them, regardless of your role or the skill level. It happens to everyone. And, personally, I know early in my career, sometimes hanging on to that one mistake led to more. So, that's part of the mental game we always talk about, not only in hockey, in any sport.
In life. Let's go
ability to turn that page quickly, move on, and have belief and confidence in yourself.
Since we're talking about this trip, we had a question come in from Duff Valley from Southampton, UK, that wants to know what Detroit did to neutralize Vegas.
I thought what Detroit did is they did a real good job stretch passes. They've got a quick team. I thought I thought Vegas got taken advantage a little bit between the blue lines. The Red Wings were able to quick strike. They had some stretch passes. Patrick Kane's playing really good hockey. I know everybody thought maybe it's past him. He's looked excellent that line with DeBrincat and young Casper. I thought they had a ton of speed. So I just think Vegas didn't take away enough of their speed, and part of that could be fatigue in their game. So that, credit to Detroit. They're a team that we can use the word desperate. They're trying to get into playoffs. It's been 8 years.
And they were in the midst of a tough stretch.
Yes.
They're climbing out of it now. But that feeds into it too. Fighting for a playoff spot had, been in the midst of a tough stretch coming into that game. I think some people seem concerned about, the timing of inconsistent games. When do you feel this team needs to look its best consistently going into playoffs? When is your, now we need to see it?
Now's the time, but... And for the most part, we've liked a lot of what you've seen out of the Four Nations. No losses all the way through. There's going to be pockets. There's going to be games where it isn't right. But you want to see more of that 60-minute consistent effort. And I think that's why the coach was more upset about the Buffalo game than anything. Because he saw Detroit on the schedule. It's one of those games you think ahead when you get the schedule, even at the beginning of the year, boy, that's going to be a tough game. So you would have loved if the
he
two
called
points,
it almost a scheduled loss.
Yeah. So if you win that Buffalo game, where they still got a point out of it, and that's where you got to take the positives here. And as you said, you can't dwell on that. You got to move on. We can talk about it. That's our job to talk about it. So what do I want to see? I think now's the time. This is about hitting your stride going into playoffs. And there's still something to play for. This Pacific, I think it's very important to try and get the best seed possible. Mark Stone they've talked about it since last year. Give yourself the best path. There's no easy path to that ultimate goal of Stanley Cup, but you can make it easier on yourself. Home ice advantage is one. As high as you can be in the standings. To me, trying to avoid that 2-3 matchup in the divisions. So that's on their plate, too. And it's about building their overall game. We've heard this from day one. Continue to build. Well, now it should be starting to look like that here as they hit this final stretch of games and get ready for playoffs.
You mentioned Mark Stone talking about things since last year. I guess just kind of a refresher for anyone who has forgotten, how that kind of played out. Play slipped toward the end of the regular season there. They end up in a wild card spot. Because of that, they end up playing Dallas the first round.
Look good after two games.
Yeah. I mean, and they felt like they were building, as that series went on, but felt like if they would have gotten to their game sooner, then that series, might have gone differently. So how much do you think they're leaning on that experience? Is this regular season?
Well, I think they are, because you look at the year they won the Cup, right? Their ability to be up, the ability to have home ice.
How much of a difference does home ice make for a player?
Well, I think I always liked it to start a series because, you're trying to, it's more important as the series goes longer. That seventh game, the ability to have that at home, game five and seven. I guess maybe sometimes some players do like going on the road looking to get a split, and then you're coming home and you can take advantage of it with a couple of home wins. But I'm always of the thought process that home ice advantage, especially here, these fans, the way they play at the Fortress, it benefits them. So it's important.
It's funny too, because some teams have had not issues in playoffs necessarily, but it's hard to come home and close out a game, or to win a cup at home is not easy to do. But Vegas was like, nope, not going back to Florida. Home ice it is. So they obviously love it here for good reason. We're going to go to break real quick. But first, don't you wish you could keep up with the VGK right at the touch of your screen? Well, now you can with the official mobile app of the Vegas Golden Knights. You can scan, buy, and transfer tickets, play exclusive games, access live stats, receive game updates, and so much more. The official mobile app of the Vegas Golden Knights is available now on your smartphone through the App Store and Google Play. We'll be right back.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Welcome back to Nighttime at Noon, where we're going to kick off a very positive segment. I know there's nothing that Shane Knighty loves more. If Darren Millard was here, It's an honor of Darren Millard. I'm sure he's listening, watching somewhere, maybe. Hi, friend, if you are. I've got to start with this. No team has been at the top of their division for longer this season than the Vegas Golden Knights, who have been atop the Pacific for 112 days. How the heck have they done it?
Consistency, right? And there's ups and downs to a season, and you try to minimize those as much as possible. You know, January is probably the one down, right? But their play wasn't that bad at that time. They just, you know, offense kind of went dry for a bit. So, you know, overall, when you look at it from that picture, it has been an impressive season. That's why I believe it's so important right now for them to finish down the stretch, because they have been consistent all year long. You want to take that consistency right to the end. They believe in this group. It's a veteran group. They believe in themselves and the guys they have to get the job done. Now, is it going to look perfect every night? No, but I think more and more as they build, seen more games where you've really liked their ability to lock it down. You know, I think of their last two shutouts, Columbus and then the one at home. And even the Pittsburgh game, like the way they defended in those games, they're going to be very hard to beat. And I think that's the strength of this team. It's been mentioned by the coach and the players right from the beginning. They want to be the best defensive team, and it's a strength for them. And then finding the offense from there. You know, special teams have been big. The power play, I think that's been a big factor for them this year. Their power play and how it's been able to change momentum in games, how it's been able to win games. So there's a lot of things to like. And to me, you know, you tip your cap to these guys, the ability to stay at top that long.
How different is it being part of a team with a really good power play versus a really struggling power play?
Well, I think it's a boost for the team. Now, you know, you get a power play now when they're jumping over the boards, you feel like they're going to get the job done, whereas when it's not, you're hoping they're going to get the job done. You don't want to be hoping. You got a sense of confidence on that group when they go out, and they have a sense of, okay, we can go out there, they can rely on that to provide the offense, to provide, you know, a momentum shift in a game, to provide, you go to the Boston game, you know, before the break, to be the difference maker, and that they've been able to do it. So, you know, it's huge for a team when you can have that. I think when you don't, then you look for other areas to kind of be those difference makers on a team.
Aiden Hill has been a difference maker this season.
He has.
And he will be for six more seasons after this one. What was your initial reaction to the extension of Aiden Hill?
Well, you knew it was coming. You know, I figured at some point they were going to lock him up. And when you look around the league and some of the contracts that have been signed, you know, this is where Aiden Hill fit in. Could he have maybe tested and waited and got more? Possibly. But this is what we've seen, kind of the track record this season, is guys love it here. They do. They love this organization. You're treated phenomenally. You got a chance to win each and every year. And Aiden Hill, I love his path. You know, when you look at guys, he's not, you know, drafted high. Okay, he had to grind away with it. You know, sitting in San Jose, and we were there, Ashley, kind of off. He told a story of, he'll never forget the day he got the call from the trade to Las Vegas from San Jose. He was back home in Alberta playing golf. You told a story on the show. He's on the eighth hole, I believe. He had a putt to make. It was about a 40-foot putt. He got the call, got traded, drained the putt, went to the ninth hole, shanked it, quit, went back, lots of plans to be made, and credit to him, he came here, he battled through injury, and then in sport, it's about opportunity, right? Grabbing hold at the right time, and you never know what's going to come. Well, it came for him in 2023. Mm-hmm. Played well that year, injuries, but then got his chance again and made the most, backstocking them to the Stanley Cup, and you know, again, injuries. This year has been healthy and has put up career numbers. He has looked really good. And he has gotten better when they need it most, just like the team, I think, here. So, you know, well-deserved. And, you know, for him, there's a peace of mind when you can get that kind of contract out of the way. I think we saw it with all the players. You know, Shea Theodore's game took off after that. I think he had the contract and the Four Nations and was playing his best hockey I've seen. He's always a tremendous player, but elite to me in the terms of Makar and Hughes and Werenski, for how he was playing before the injury. Howd and Kolesar, you know, the list goes on, and now Aiden Hill. So hopefully peace of mind, and this gives him a little more confidence to continue to build his game as they get ready for playoffs.
I still think draining that putt was a good sign of what was to come. he might be a really good putter. I don't know. But I know he works a lot on his golf game. I don't know. But if I sunk a 40-foot putt, I would be thinking.
I would be excited,
good
too.
Good things are coming here.
Everybody should be.
You mentioned a few of those names. Shea Theodore signs and then, you know, was on career pace.
Yeah.
Braden McNabb signed. He's just as consistent as they come. So I don't, you know, that is what it is. But what's interesting about Brett Howden and Keegan Colasar is they were already on pace for career seasons. They signed, but they've kept that pace up. So that's. Just really good for both sides.
I think it is, and it shows the team. Okay, you've bet on us. Now we're gonna prove our worth. That's what it's about. And I think valuable players. You think of Brett's kind of both those guys that again their paths to it impressive. Colasar came in. He established himself as a hard fourth line kind of forechecker that would stick up for his teammates. Now he's added that element of offense. Howden is kind of the energy he can get in speed. Good size, versatile play. You know, when they won the cup, he was on the left side with Stevenson and Stone now. But he can play center. He can penalty kill. Both those guys can penalty kill. And now adding the offense. So it's them, when you come to the NHL, establishing your NHL player. And then you start to build layers to your game. And you're seeing that from Colasar and Howden.
Speaking of building offensive layers to your game, I mean, this guy's always had the offensive part of his game. But it's taken off major lately this season. Pavel Dorofeev.
Yeah.
Really good road trip for him. Became the youngest player in franchise history to hit the 25 goal mark. Kept building from there. What's impressed you most when you look at the consistency with which he's produced this year?
So this is kind of the opposite of what I talked about. So Pavel Dorofeev comes in and he's labeled as an offensive guy. 26 goals with Henderson when he was there. You saw glimpses of it. I think it was 13 last year, 14 goals, in 40-some games. I don't have the exact sheet. That's probably why you should. So you thought that was it. But what's impressed me, so he's come in, and his offensive numbers, are you a little bit surprised? Maybe. I thought he could be a 20- to 30-goal guy. But for me, it's his other game, his wall play, how strong he is on the puck. That is what impresses me the most about Pavel Dorofeev. He is not knocked off the puck easy. He's deceptive with his speed. He's smart. His hockey IQ in the game. The little plays he can make in the offensive zone, his willingness to go to the hard areas. He's not an overly big guy, but you see him hang on to the puck. He just makes good plays. He's able to shield contact, hang on to the puck. He can get to those holes in the interior. There's just so much. And then, as you said, for a young player, the biggest thing is to have that consistency. So for me, it's great. Well, automatically we look to goal scoring. Right, it's been terrific scoring goals. That's what we knew about him. It's all those other little details to me that has really impressed, and his ability in his first full season to do that night after night. Yeah, there's going to be some off nights, there is, but it's consistency is what you want to see from those type of players, and he's been able to do it.
Important too is that he went through that stretch. I don't know if it was like it was somewhere between 10 and 15 games.
Yeah.
Where he didn't score. Yep. It felt like it was forever. It wasn't. But Bruce Cassidy talked in the moment that this is going to be good for him. So to see that he's, continued on that, got through that, doing the right things away from the puck, doing the right things,
Well, you want to learn. You learn from those, right? So now when it happens again in a career, you've got, it's in the memory bank to remember, okay, what did I do there? Okay, focus on other parts of my game, continue to do this, continue to do that. Patient, it will come.
We're talking about all the good stuff, all the records that have been broken, franchise records that have been broken, happened on this trip, all of the good news with Adin Hill signing. We had Jack Eichel set the new record for most points in a single season in franchise history. Before we talk about him breaking that record, what do you remember about William Karlsson's 78-point season year one?
Well, season one is just,
to put it into perspective.
Perspective is like,
is
this really happening? That was that whole year with that team that came in and just, wow, what a magical season overall, both, for the team success and then Karlsson. I remember him. This is a guy that, just blew it away. 43 goals that year. That's a number I'll never forget. And that line, how every night the work ethic, the speed they played with, the attack, it was something, and this league's become, that they played such a high-paced game. Kind of changed now the thinking of some teams as we've seen forward, and everybody continues to evolve. When you see a team have success, other teams try to mimic it. But that's what I remember about that. And for William Karlsson, it wasn't just that. It's how good his overall game is. He is a complete player. playing the one of the toughest positions, center, where your responsibilities are, you know, a lot more. And he just, his awareness, he's always in the right place. But yeah, offensively, everything just clicked for him that season.
We hope that William Karlsson will be returning soon. We're going to talk about that. We're going to circle back and talk about Jack Eichel's season and how he broke that franchise record. We're going to talk a lot about what's going on around the league, too, right after this. But first, watch your Vegas Golden Knights this season with Nighttime Plus. Download Nighttime Plus today on your smartphone, tablet, computer, or TV to watch the Golden Knights live. Nighttime Plus delivers all locally televised games on Scripps Sports, as well as bonus content created throughout the season. Download and subscribe now to tune in all season long. We'll be right back here on Nighttime at Noon.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining Ashley Weiss and Shane Knighty here on Nighttime at Noon. We have some questions that we are going to get to. We also want you to keep sending in your questions, please. In the meantime, we're going to take a very quick VGK specific break and talk about some other things going on around the league. Might as well start with some standings news, because I feel like that's what everyone's worried about, scoreboard watching season. I guess we should start in the Pacific. LA is heating up. They've won five in a row. They are 5 points behind Vegas right now, but they have two games in hand. So what are you seeing out of the Kings?
Well, they're on a run right now. They kind of fell apart, and then back there, I think it's going to be a race. Those teams, and we talked about it earlier, the importance of trying to win the Pacific. I think all three teams recognize that, and the fact that for the first round, they don't want to meet each other. You'd rather see a wild card team, although that's still, nothing's guaranteed or easy. LA, I think Jim Hiller's done a real good job there this year with them. And credit to them. I was surprised at the trade deadline. They did not do much. They got Andre Kuzmenko and really didn't address anything. I think their big ad probably was Drew Doughty, who played most of the season without their star defenseman. But he's back and probably feeling a lot better. And, you know, the growth of some of their players, Byfield, I think, is going to be, you know, a huge addition now that, you know, the 22-year-old second overall pick is really built into that second-line center with Kopitar on the one. So it brings a lot of balance. So good teams.
Was there something that made that a difficult matchup for Vegas this year? Or do you think it was nights in which Vegas wasn't on top of their
game? If that's that answer, no, I don't know if I'd be doing
this. That's fair. It's specific. It's also interesting. If they were to play in the playoffs, the regular season, it does seem to just completely go out the window. It doesn't. I don't have numbers.
I remember
to
in the
this.
Early 2000s, the Battle of Ontario, I was with the Ottawa Senators. We dominate the Toronto Maple Leafs every year in regular season and could not beat them in playoffs.
Yeah, so it doesn't even matter. Doesn't even matter. So it's fine that you don't have an answer, Shane. But you mentioned the wild card race. We're going to talk East and West, but we'll stay in the West for now. So 2 points separate one, two, three, four teams who are vying for that last wild card spot right now. Vancouver has 73 points. St. Louis has 73 points. St. Louis has been on a run. Calgary has 71, and Utah has 71. I don't know. Did you have them in the race?
I don't know. I think they've got it toughest, right? Calgary's got a couple of games in hand, so that benefits them. St. Louis has been running.
I think St. Louis might have one of the easier strength of schedules remaining, too.
And then Vancouver. So, you know, Calgary plays Toronto tonight. That'll be a big game. I think it's going to be, and this is the fun time of year. This is, every game is just so big. Each and every night, there's always something important to play for. And all these teams are going to be dialed in because they're playing for their playoff lives. Those four we mentioned, and then you go to the East, and it's just as crazy over there. And that's what makes it must watch each and every night to see how it changes. And we just talked about not only they're getting into playoffs, but also for that seeding in all the divisions.
You mentioned the exact same situation in the East in terms of four teams being separated by 2 points, but then there's another one to two teams that are just 2 points behind that. And then, I mean, Pittsburgh's probably not in the mix at this point.
Everybody's still, until you're knocked out.
But they're still only six points out of that second wild card spot. So who in the race do you have your eye on in each, that's maybe not in a current playoff spot in each conference? So not in a playoff spot in the East would be Montreal, Columbus, Detroit, Islanders, Boston.
Detroit. I really think they can get it going. They've had a couple of seven-game winning stretches. They've fallen apart, and maybe that game against Vegas kind of gave them
that'll
confidence.
Give you a boost, right? That's one thing. I do. Vegas is still a team that tends to get teams' bests on a nightly
they do.
Basis.
Yep.
I know the TNT broadcast asked Mark Stone what it's like to be the bad guy still, and I don't think he really knew how to respond. But you know, it's still the case. And then in the West, out of St. Louis, Calgary, Utah, I guess maybe even Anaheim.
I would have thought Calgary. They got, like I said, they got a big game tonight. I think Ryan Husk has done a real good job there with the way they compete each and every game. You know, Vancouver made some moves. We'll see if they can overcome that. They would have been my initial pick, but I can maybe see Calgary working their way up. Although, you know, St. Louis and but he said one, so I'll go with Calgary. We'll see if I'm wrong.
And St. Louis had one of those stories yesterday. They had plane issues. I guess they had back to back Saturday, Sunday. They were in Minnesota on Saturday, had plane issues, so had to go back to the hotel in Minnesota, yeah. Fly to St. Louis the day of their game, had the game time moved back. Do you have a craziest travel story?
Well, I've
especially since you're not superstitious, but you care about your routine, so I feel like
the worst one. The worst travel story is when I was flying Philadelphia back to Ottawa after a game, and we lost an engine and had to return back to Philadelphia.
Oh my good lord! And that, Shane is not a good flyer.
No, I'm not a good flyer.
So that probably did not go over well.
That was not good. But yeah, I think it's just similar, and we've seen it. Vegas has gone through it. The one where you know something happens when you're at the airport, you want to fly home or fly to that next game, and you got to return to a hotel and do the day of. That's what makes it tough, and it, I think it's happened to everybody.
1,000 career points. Nathan MacKinnon joined that club. What stands out to you about Nathan?
Well, he's going to win the Hart Trophy this year.
Yeah.
I think we always, you know, automatically anoint Connor McDavid the best player in the world. And I think, right, I still have him there, but yeah, not far behind is Nathan MacKinnon and what he's been able to do and to drive that Colorado Avalanche team. Now that he's got the Stanley Cup too, I think that speaks volumes for him. But just a dangerous player each and every night. He's a little different than McDavid, as he's the strength and power he plays with, which I think Jack kind of has that too. You don't think of those guys as powerful, but they are. Just an impressive career MacKinnon has had, and just the speed he plays with is kind of almost like a gallop when he gets going and flying up the ice. But a terrific season he has had there. And, you know, he always thought Mikko Rantanen and him. Now he's doing it with other guys, Natchez, Lehkonen. So Colorado looks really good. There's another division, the Central.
Did you watch that game yesterday, Colorado
I watched,
Dallas, on
the
flight
watched the
home?
Highlights.
There were some TVs on the flight home, so I know some people were checking that one out. Sure, that was an emotional return for Mikko Rantanen. Yeah. I can only imagine the mixed emotions that came with that one. Going on to other best players in the world, Alex Ovechkin.
This one, it's a record. I'm still just
dumbfounded.
Have to bring my, yeah, that it would get that we're here, that it's going to get broken, right? A Gretzky fan growing up, 894 goals. I never thought anybody we'd see the day. And having played against Ovechkin now and watched him and covered him for all these years, it's mind-blowing what he's been able to do. You know, 2 years ago, everybody thought he was done, and, mm-hmm. and he just continues. And not only that, the individual success, but the success of the Capitals this year has surprised me. Credit to Haley Carberry and what he was able to do. They said that wrong.
Spencer. You're fine.
I know his cousin Haley here, who runs the wine at one of the resorts. Spencer Carberry, excuse me. He ate away, right? His number right now, ate away from breaking Wayne Gretzky's record. And I hope he does it this year, because it's not something you want to carry over. And I'm sure he'd like to get it done and over with and move on. And you know, Wayne Gretzky's always said he hopes someone will beat it, and never thought it would happen, but here we are.
Have you seen anything different? Like, is it just the juice that the Capitals have along with maybe the support he has? I don't know. How has he been able to pick up the pace so much?
Well, I think
this
he's got
year?
Guys that play with, I think, you know, it was always Backstrom and him. That was kind of, you know, that was it. Those two, that's where a lot of his goals came, and I think Dylan Strome's been a real good player for him. To play with. There's guys on that Washington team that he's found chemistry with, and he just can shoot the puck. He purest goal scorer ever, and he's about to make it official. I always loved the, you know, when I played against him early on, the intensity, the physicality in which he played the game. His durability is phenomenal. He got injured after the hat trick here, the next game in Utah.
Yeah.
And I remember we've heard stories this year, guys are like, how did you come back from a broken leg so quick? You know, the Russian machine, they call him, and it is incredible for his size, how big a man he is, how powerful and how durable he is. And he have to be to even have a chance at this record, which he's been able.
I know you said it's hard to even comprehend the fact that the record's going to be broken, but think about your days playing against him. Would you have said, okay, well, if someone's going to break the record, that's who it's going to be? Is that who you would
no,
have circled
I don't, I don't
back
think,
then?
I don't think that. We knew he was one of the best goal scorers, but I don't think that record still was, you know, everybody thought it was in the realm of possibility. You just didn't. But, yeah, he certainly was the elite player. Novichkin could score. You know, there was a lot of dangerous guys. I played with his counterpart, Ilya Kovalchuk, who another Russian player who was an elite goal scorer. But, yeah, he was just so dangerous because he could run over you. He could go around you. He could shoot. It's just, and he still can do it. That's the remarkable thing, is he's still doing it.
And hopefully all eyes will be on this final stretch of the regular season for him, because it's going to be fun to watch. I think he does it this year.
I think he does it this year.
It would be tough, but like you said, it would be tough to have to sit on that for another off season and come back and drag it all out. But got to get to some of these questions now. There are a lot who are curious about William Karlsson. So he was on the trip.
Yeah.
He did not play. However, he started the trip in a non-contact sweater. As the week went on, was graduating out of that non-contact sweater. So even though he didn't play, all signs pointed to the fact that he was progressing well.
Yeah, and there was thoughts that he may come back on the trip. But here's the thing. I think he was there, and I think it's good when you've been out that long to be around the guys. So come on the trip, skate every day, do your workouts, do your rehab, everything you need to do to continue to get better. That is beneficial when you've been out of the lineup and you're not around the guys on a day-to-day basis. I think it's great to kind of get back. That brings the spirits up. And then, yeah, non-contact, skating, progressing, and we're not inside. Could he play? I don't know. To me, I think it's smart because of the way this week lines up. Not playing till Thursday. This is an additional 3 days to continue to progress for William Karlsson. And the other thing is they didn't get a chance for a full team practice.
Every practice was optional or a game day skate.
And that you need before, you know, getting back in the lineup. You need to run reps, whether it's with a line, whether it's the full team, whether it's, you know, going over the D zone, neutral zone, forecheck, all those areas. So a full practice, I think, is needed before you come back in the lineup. And I think, you know, whether it's Thursday or beyond, I think it's just, you know, it's a good week here to add to that, because you want to make sure with William Karlsson, when he comes back, he's 100% ready.
A question about his return that we might not be able to fully answer, but we might be able to kind of talk about some possibilities of what things might look like.
Who's he going to play with?
They want to know who's going to come out when he returns. Some of that's, I'm guessing, going to depend on who's playing really well at that point that they don't want to take out, but also it's going to depend on who they want to see him with. So who would you want to see him with? Let's go that way.
Well, first of all, let's just say hopefully there is a decision to be made, because that means everybody's healthy.
That's true.
That's true. So even though it's a tough decision, that's the decision you want to have to make. You know, I think everybody, you got to try Riley Smith and William Karlsson back together. So you put that, you know, and Smith can play both sides. I think he played a lot of the right wing with William Karlsson. So you're looking at left wingers, and who falls in there? Is it Brad Howden maybe? Do you bring that speed to the line? Start of the season, Bruce Cassidy talked about how well Karlsson and Dorofeev. But Dorofeev and Hurdle now, you can't separate them because they've built this. I'm not saying you can't, but
I
think there's a lot.
Wouldn't.
And I think that's a credit to how this team's built. There's a lot of different options to move things around. And we've seen Bruce Cassidy. He
shuffled a lot this trip.
There was a blender out.
In games.
Yeah. And that gives you different looks. And I think a lot of that is with him, you know, being mindful of, okay, down the road, knowing different options. And he always likes to work in pairs, and then you add a piece on either wing. It's usually a center and a winger, and I think he'll have a lot of different options. I would think you're going to see Riley Smith, possibly Howden on that line. Could it be Olsen? Could it be Pearson? We'll wait and see what Bruce Cassidy has and his coaching staff and what they feel will be best.
Typically, when I ask you the question, where does he impact the game the most when he returns? The answer is everywhere. Which is true. However, I'm curious, is there an area right now that you see in the Golden Knights game that they would benefit most from their return of William Karlsson?
Just overall depth, right? It adds, because he plays such an important position, it strengthens their middle ice. He adds to the penalty kill. He adds to their matchups. So, yeah, he impacts so many different areas. So just to me, it's overall depth. Now the strength of your team just goes up.
Well, keep sending us your questions, please. Any final questions for the last segment of our show that'll be coming up? And if you want to do some shopping during the commercial break, have you ever wanted to own a piece of the Golden Knights history? VGK Authentics is the official channel for game-used items coming off the ice. From game-used pucks to game-worn jerseys and everything in between, owning something from your favorite Golden Knights player has never been so easy. Shop VGK Authentics on VegasTeamStore.com, at the Arsenal at City National Arena, and at VGK Authentics kiosk behind Section 10 at T-Mobile Arena during games. We'll be right back here on Nighttime at Noon.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Well, thanks for kicking off your week with us here on Nighttime at Noon, a week in which the Golden Knights will have a little three-game homestand before they hit the road for another week or so. Cool stuff coming up this weekend, though, Shane, starting on Wednesday, the LATAM Classic. So there will be teams from Mexico, Colombia, Argentina, and Puerto Rico all competing. Really cool to see the game continuing to grow, and the city of Las Vegas in particular.
Well, I think that's impressive to me, since, you know, coming here 8 years ago in the sport of hockey, and now seeing the growth, not only the what we've seen here throughout the valley, but to have these events where, you know, our game is growing, the sport that's been my life, growing to this extent and being able to host it here in Vegas, just tremendous stuff, and it's fantastic for me to hear that our sport is taking off.
The Los VGK initiative is so cool. They're responsible for the majority of this, and so that's happening at America First Center in Henderson, coming up again Wednesday, March 19th through Saturday, March 22nd, and it's free to get in. There's just a link. Go online. There's a link. Register, because there's only so many seats in that building, but you want to fill it up, so go. What an incredible way to spend the weekend there. But as I said, Golden Knights also, they'll have a few practice days and then a homestand of their own. It will be Boston, Detroit again.
Yes.
And then Tampa. That's it.
That's it. Then on the road.
East. That's also it for the East, which is probably nice to be going all conference the rest of the way.
Wait and see the East later.
That's true. Much later, like, I don't know, mid-June.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, that's it for the East until hopefully the end. And, you know, important to take advantage of home. I think it is. They did that in their last homestand. They got a Boston team here, and this is a different-looking Bruins team. It's kind of the end of... From when I was there with Brad Marchand moving
on. Was your reaction to that trade? And I weren't together on the trade. Oh, we were.
I was a little surprised, just because it's one of the last links I had to that team as former teammates. Now it's kind of turned a direction. I was part of when that franchise turned around and first made playoffs in 2008 after their down years. And then from 2008 pretty much till now, they've been competitive a couple off seasons. But it's been that core group of guys that built, and then the Marchands and the Bergerons kind of fell off. Marchand was the last one from the 2011 team to move away. And, Boston Bruins are heading in a new direction.
That night will also be Go Green Night, because we don't have a game on St. Paddy's Day, but we have a game
on
Thursday. So it's Go Green Night. But this is what's really cool, Shane. It's not just like, wear green. Green warm-up jerseys, what every other team does. It's actually for the Night Shield project, which is something the team has been doing. It's a big sustainability project, so makes sense.
So I have to pull the green tie.
You have to pull out the green tie, and it's because you're representing a good cause. Yes. Sustainability, which the organization has worked very, very hard on. Something we'll keep an eye on, not only this homestand, but as the season goes on, is Jack Eichel.
Yes.
We mentioned that he broke the single-season record for points in a season, sitting at 80 right now. His career high is 82. What has been different about his game this year?
Health. He's been healthy all year long, and hopefully that continues. You think with these elite players, they don't continue to grow their game, but he continues to grow his game. So I believe this year he should be in the Selke conversation for what he's done offensively. His numbers are tremendous offensively. He's certainly been the MVP here. You know, you got to have elevated numbers if you're in the league conversation. But the other one, too, I think he's going to win is the Lady Bing. He only has 6 penalty minutes and plays that many minutes, that many important places on the ice. So a couple of awards. I'm already throwing it out there for Jack Eichel.
Yeah.
But what I like is he came here, and you see his competitiveness right away. That's what stuck out to me about Jack, is how competitive a person he is, how badly he wants to win. And he talked about it in Buffalo. He's talking to reporters. Somebody asked him about, do you write down your goals? And he's not going to tell us, but he probably has individual goals. But he said it the right way. He said, it's more my team goals that I had set. And if those are in place, the individual will follow. And that's the right answer. And I think he's always a team first guy. But I just think he's one of the best players in the league. To have an elite centerman that plays both sides of the puck as well as he does, there's not many. There's maybe, I've heard a GM say there's, less than 10, maybe 12, less than 12 guys in the league that can be like Jack. And that's what makes him truly special and why you want to win. If you're going to win, you have to have those elite centermen on your team that are so responsible, want to be on the ice in every situation. The power play has been a big thing going through him and Stone, the way it's worked this year. His penalty killing time has gone up. Mm-hmm. And just you just watch him play. Like, so you can look at him, and we had a graphic, was it last night? He's top three and entries,
yeah.
Exits. There's only two players that are in the top three of all those categories, and that's him and Nate MacKinnon, who I said will probably be the Hart Trophy winner. So that tells you how good a season he's had and how impressed we should all be by him.
So it's always important, especially people who are listening to this watch Golden Knights games regularly. Yeah. So they see what we see on a nightly basis, which is how good he is on the defensive side of things, how good he is as a penalty killer. That's typically what seems to be the underrated part of his game. But I am curious about the offensive side of things, the passing, the playmaking. It's obviously always been there, but has that part of it been on a new level to you this season?
I think it has. I think obviously the power plays helped that a lot. Those numbers go up. He just makes plays that, and he continues to work on this game. Like all these offensive guys, I think Kucherov, who Jack has said he's a fan of, they're constantly looking at tape, little ways to make plays to the inside, passes. I always think of that backhand pass he made through the seam. I think it was to Olofsson earlier in the year. He has that ability. The one thing, and I think he can add, I'd like to see him shoot more. I think his shot, he can score more goals, but I'm not going to get picky here. He is tremendous, and boy, what a season it has been.
Time winds down here. One last one for you. How would you sum up what you want to see from the team in the final 15 games?
I just want to see consistency to their game, a commitment to playing the right way, and some of that just decision-making. I'll steal it from the coach. Let's see good habits with puck management.
Sounds good. You could steal whatever you need to. You should try to steal something green to wear later in the day, though. I don't know. Grab some green socks, something. We got to get you some St. Patty's Day stuff, everyone. Thank you for tuning in here on St. Patrick's Day. This was Nighttime at Noon with Ashley Weiss and Shane Knighty. We'll see you soon.